We'll read 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 24 down to verse 28. And I guess we can read that responsively. I'll read the first, you read the second, and so on. 1 Samuel chapter 1, 24 through verse 28. The Word of God says in verse 24, "And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with three bullocks and ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young." And she said, "O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord." Verse 28 together. "Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there." Let us go to the Lord now in a word of prayer. Father God in heaven, Lord, we come this morning to your throne of grace in Jesus' name. As we gather on this special Sunday morning, a day that we pick each day, each year rather, to celebrate the love, the sacrifice of mothers. And what a good example this morning of a mother who gave her son back to God. And I think that's a lesson for every mother, that we're supposed to give their sons and daughters back to the God who gave them the child in the first place. For the Bible says to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Father, we thank you just for this opportunity to be in God's house. For the Bible is clear, when two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. You told us in your word not to forsake assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but to encourage one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. It is my prayer now, Lord, you will take this time and use me as your messenger. I understand the power is not in myself, but in the word of God. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. This is our prayer this morning by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to preach a message this morning entitled, "Lessons from My Mother." Lessons from my mother. So it's a very personal message, but I believe also it's a message that we all need to hear. And so I'm going to get right into it today. I got four lessons. Of course, my mother taught me a lot more than four lessons before. I want to highlight this morning in church. And so the first lesson that my mother taught me, I think it's important for every person to know, and that is, sin is nothing to play with. Sin is nothing to play with. The Bible says in Proverbs 5 and verse 22, "His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins." We have a saying we use down at Pacific Guard Mission in terms of sin. And for those who are not familiar, Pacific Guard Mission is a 24-hour rescue mission downtown Chicago. It's been in Chicago since September 15th of 1877. We house anywhere from 600 to 700 men and women each and every day who battle various strongholds and sins. And so we have the statement we use to try to teach our men and women to change, and that is this: sin will take you further than you want to go. Amen. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. Amen. And it will cost you more than you want to pay. And that is true. We can choose the sin, but we can never choose the consequences. And I don't have time to get into how I learned that lesson myself in my life. But my mother taught me that. There's a price tag with sin. The Bible says it so clearly in Proverbs, "Stolen water is sweet, but afterwards your mouth should be filled with gravel. What a way of putting that. You know, sin is fun for a season, but the consequences, the heartache, the suffering, the broken relationships, the financial problems, in some cases health problems that come along with making bad decisions. And so there is a reason why the pastor preaches each Sunday about living right. There's a blessing that comes with living right. There's a peace that comes with doing things God's way. And, you know, of course, as Pastor mentioned, I've been off to Bible college. I got a master's, and I'm currently working on a doctorate in pastoral theology. But I'm a real simple preacher. I don't believe the church needs all the Greek and the Hebrew. We need the basics in many cases. You know, I don't get into all that. I know it. I've learned it. I took Greek. I took Hebrew. All that good stuff. But we need to get to the basics. Bible study every day. Prayer. Because we have so many Christians that don't read the Bibles every day. That don't pray every day. That don't see the value of living right in the sight of God. And so, Billy Sunday, famous preacher from many years ago, said it best. It's not what I don't understand in the Bible that gives me a hard time. It's what I do understand. Okay? I learned Ephesians 4:32 when I was 12 years old in James Moore Christian Academy. In fact, I'm currently in school in James Moore Christian Academy. It tells us in verse 12. Some of you know that verse. Be ye kind one to another. Tenderhearted, forgive one another, even as God and Christ have forgiven you. Now, 34, I looked at verse 22 years. You know how the press does sometimes, right? You know, it's in our heads. It's in our heads, but putting it to practice. It's at times it's easy. I know everybody's, we're at church today and we're being nice and we're smiling. We got on our nice outfits and whatnot. But how many know sometimes it's difficult to show basic kindness? Speak when we see people. Showing the love of God. Amen. And so that's just one of many examples of basic principles we understand, but we refuse to practice. And the reason we refuse to practice it is because we allow our flesh to get in the way of what we know from God's word. And so sin, it's nothing to play with. My mother was born December 10th, 1964. She would have been 52 years of age, December of 2016. She passed February 26th, of 2016. My mother, she had a stronghold she battled for decades, a stronghold to crack cocaine. And that's a stronghold that afflicts so many of our people. You know, I know what happens to, if we're not careful, we go to college, we get educated, integrated, whatever word you want to use, we learn, we earn more money, and if we're not careful, we forget the plight of so many of our people and what's going on in our city right here in Chicago. And I think it's really a shame to do that. I think we ought to have a heart for those who are suffering right here in our own backyard. You know, we get so excited about mission fields in Africa and India, and we should, by the way, but there's a mission field right here in Chicago. There's so many people right in Chicago that need a mother, that need a father, that need the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we hold it in church. Amen. And so, crack cocaine first began to be used on a large scale in Los Angeles in 1984. That distribution and use of the drug exploded that same year. Between 1984 and 1994, the homicide rate of black males aged 14 to 17 doubled. The homicide rate for black males 18 to 24 nearly increased as much. During this period, the black community experienced an increase in low birth weight babies, weapons arrests, and a number of children in foster care. In 1996, approximately 60% of inmates incarcerated in the U.S. were sentenced on drug charges. So in short, crack cocaine has been used, I would say, as a spiritual stronghold that has destroyed, devastated millions of our men and women across America. And unfortunately, very unfortunately, my mother happened to be one of those people. But she wasn't the exception. And let's not sit here today in church and act like what's happening in our cities in Chicago and nationwide don't affect you and me, and it does. Because I stand here today. Give me a second to explain this. I'm going to work this. 6'3", 215 pounds. Now, according to God's word, that's won't address it. We sit back and we act like it's not a reality that we face. And if you have a son, you got to have these type of conversations. Let's not sit here today like this isn't reality. Because it doesn't matter if I have on a suit or a baseball cap, I'm looked at with fear. And you know I'm telling the truth. Matter of fact, probably more so when I got a suit on. They don't know what to think about me. Amen. So this is a reality that affects all of us, whether we don't admit it or not. That's my point in going through all this. Doesn't matter if you live on the west side of Chicago with a baseball cap on backwards, or if you live in Glen with a suit on, you look that with suspicion. You look that with fear. And that suspicion and fear, unfortunately, at times causes the death of innocent young men and women. Now, Noah, as cute as he is right now, he's a baby. In about 12 years, he'll be looked at with suspicion. And that's a reality. That's a problem that we have to talk about. We have to address that as a church. And we shouldn't have to turn on the news to figure out what's going on. You know what's going to happen? You know what happens while we don't talk about it? Because we're afraid if we talk about it in church, that will create hatred in the hearts of our young people. What's going to create hatred in the hearts of our young people is when they're 25 and they go out into the world and they find out for the first time because you didn't tell them. Amen. Somebody. And so the book of Judges, there was a pattern summarized with four words: sin, suffering, supplication, and salvation. 400 years of that very problem. The nation of Israel will commit sin, and as I've already mentioned, because of that sin, they will suffer. During that suffering, they will pray to God for help, deliverance. God would deliver, salvation. Guess what happened at the end of their process? They started all over again. And that's what we have going on in our communities, this pattern of sin, suffering, crying out to God, and returning back to the very same strongholds and sin. That's why it's so important for mothers to teach their children of the dangers of sin. Bad company corrupts good character. The consequences of having poor character. The importance of having a good attitude. Being respectful to superiors. And living a life that gives honor and glory to God. Turning the TV off and reading a book. Amen. I wish my mother would have made me do more of that growing up. Because I watch very little TV now. I wish I would start that at 12. You see, because we live in a world that you will be judged off the way you speak, the way you carry yourself. And what's in your mind is more important than entertainment and television. That means sometimes mothers, you have to tell them, turn off that Facebook. Put the video games away. Go get a book. Go get a commentary. A dictionary. The importance of training up your child in the ways of God. The Bible says, train up a child the way he should go, and when he is older, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 1 and 10 says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. In other words, teach them it's important to choose your friends carefully. The Bible says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And some of those weapons we need, as we talk about these strongholds I've mentioned so far, fear, drug addiction, we need to pray, Bible study, regular church attendance, faith, Christian community, and I would say to add to that, a knowledge of self. Okay, I'm going to explain in a second. A knowledge of self. It's great to learn about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and the apostles. However, to add to that, teach them about a man named Booker T. Washington, Martin Luther King Jr., Medgar Evers, Coleman Young, the first black mayor in 1974, the Buffalo Soldiers, the porters who worked for 15, 20 hours so the kids could go to college, and one of those kids was a man named Thurgood Marshall. See, a knowledge of self. Because without knowledge of self, that will create what I would call today inferior complex. Because we don't know that we've had mirrors. We've had educated people. We're not the first generation that has been strong. And I'm encouraged by that when I look back on my own history, biblically speaking, and also as an African American. I'm encouraged to know there were always men who worked. I'm no exception today. You know, sometimes we think we're an exception. There were always men who were strong and did what was right. And we need to give our sons and daughters a knowledge of themselves as well. That's very important. Don't let them reach 25, like myself, and be faced with the rude awakening of what it really means to be a young black man in America. Don't wait to 25, teach them at 10, 12, and get them prepared for the world they're going to enter into. Secondly, my mother taught me to strive for excellence. To strive for excellence. In other words, don't just get by. Do your best. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might. I didn't understand that when I was 10 or 11 years of age. It didn't really make sense. And my grandmother, who passed away in November 2008, she told me this, and she said this often, and she said, PJ, they still call me PJ, by the way. I'm 34, still get called PJ to this day. I hate that, but, you know, 6'3", 215, you're still PJ, you know. She says, PJ, anybody can be a fool. And that didn't really click when I was young. I didn't really get that. It makes perfect sense today. Anyone can be lazy. Anyone can be irresponsible. Anyone can be a fool, but it takes character to go forward. It takes humility to go forward. It takes patience and love and joy and peace, divine power, and eternal perspective. She was saying that anyone can be lazy, but not everyone will be diligent. Anyone can start college, but not everyone would finish college. Anyone can make a baby, but it takes a man to raise that baby. It doesn't take much to be a fool, but it takes a whole lot to be wise. And it starts off with having a fear of Almighty God. For the Bible says in Proverbs 1 and verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. In other words, she was saying to me, be a modern day Daniel. Daniel was a young man. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 4, children in whom was no blemish, but were well favored, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace. From that verse, we learned they had no blemish. That means they had no body defect or imperfection. They were well favored, and in Hebrew it means beautiful. Skillful in wisdom, which means simply intelligent or wise. Cunning in knowledge. Shrewd, clever, or what we say today, common sense. In other words, these were sharp young men. Look good, healthy, intelligent, but above all that, they feared God. And what we need today in our communities is young men, young women who are intelligent, who fear God, who have common sense. Okay, we need both. Okay, you know that. We need both in this world. Knowledge is one thing. But the world we live in, you need good judgment. You need common sense. You need to be aware of the times. The Bible says that Daniel was aware of the times. He knew what was going on in Babylon. And I haven't got so far into the Bible that I'm not aware of what the world I live in today. I think sometimes we don't put the two together. God gives us truth to face the realities we face in this world. And so Daniel, his friends, were examples of what young men should be. And that's what happens when we have godly mothers and godly fathers that raise up children in the fear and admonition of Almighty God. In other words, Daniel wasn't the last Daniel. We can have some Daniels today in 2017, and that's my prayer. I want my son to be a Daniel, fearing God, skillful, intelligent, good sense, and has the ability to stand in the king's palace. In other words, he had the sense that was needed to keep a job. He had respect. He had character. He knew how to work with people. He knew how to humble himself, and that's what happens when we have good mothers. And my mother taught me that. Strive for excellence. The next point, and this is so important, don't give up on your children when they fail. Amen. Don't give up on your children, not if, when they fail. That conditional love. We're supposed to have unconditional love for our family. As I mentioned, I got saved at age 12. Attended James Memorial Christian Academy for a couple of years out in Maywood, 6th and 7th grade. Was called to preach at 15 at that same church. I ran from that call. I didn't want to do that. I became a modern-day Jonah. That's what I became at that point. I did not want to do that. And I ran right into trouble, just as Jonah did. Ran from that conviction. Freshman year in high school, was an honor roll student. Striving for excellence. I was taught that. Always did well in school. Had all A's and B's. What I lacked at that time, so what I'm talking about today, good sense. Common sense. So I know what I'm talking about today. You can have A's and B's and not get it when it comes to people. Okay? We need both. And so because I lacked good judgment, I got into a lot of trouble at a young age. Smart as I was, ended up in a street gang, out of the church, and at 17 years of age, I found myself in a state penitentiary for about 5 years. Praise God, because it was during that time I surrendered completely to God. Surrendered to God, got into the Bible, dropped my gang affiliation, began to do Bible studies with other inmates. But here's my reason for bringing that up. While I was in prison, behind bars, my grandmother would drive 753 miles from Mississippi to come visit me. That's love. You know, folks had given up on me, by the way. That's why I'm saying this here today. Because, you know, I have people right here in Chicago that won't come see me, right? Amen. They gave up on me. It's like, you're done. You're going to be a loser your whole life. That was what they thought about me. The devil was a liar. God had a plan, and I praise God for a grandmother who loved me enough to drive 753 miles, 64 years old. Grandma was almost 70. Strong. I miss my grandma. I tell you, I'm getting hyped up now, amen. I love my grandmother. Almost 70 years old, driving the car from Mississippi all to Chicago to come see me. Never gave up on me. Never gave up, no matter what I did. She didn't justify it. She didn't agree with it, but she loved me. And I remember my grandmother coming there to visit me and to sit down and play checkers with me and talk to me. She was saying, I still love you. I haven't given up on you. You are still my son. And mothers, you have to do that sometimes. Sometimes your sons and daughters are going to break your heart. And you know I'm telling the truth. And when that happens, you have to love them anyway. Not tolerate it, not agree with it, but pray for them. Love them and show them that there is a God that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. There's a God that says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. The things which are impossible with man are possible with God. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. A God that gives a second chance. In history, it's full of examples of men and women who failed miserably, but they got back up. I'll name just a few here today. I'll be done in just a few minutes here, about another hour. I'll be done, I promise, about 5 minutes. Amen. Probably never get invited back after this. Henry Ford, for example. While Henry Ford today is known for his innovative assembly line in American-made cars, he was not an instant success. His business failed and left him broke 5 times. Facts. R.H. Macy. You know who he is. Some of you, how many of you go to Macy's here? Anybody? Anyone go to Macy's? Okay, a few ladies here go to Macy's. Amen. 7 times. Started business 7 times, failed 7 times, flat broke. Kept trying, and now he's rich, wealthy. Thomas Edison, another example of this. In grade school, teachers told him he was too stupid to learn anything. Thomas Edison. Boy, they're wrong about that one. You know, sometimes folks are wrong about you. Don't let people tell you what you can't do, by the way. Amen, somebody. His teacher told him he was too stupid to learn. Thomas Edison. And he was fired from his first 2 jobs for not being productive enough, of all people. He made several unsuccessful attempts at inventing a light bulb before finally it resulted in design, which we use today. Abraham Lincoln. While today is known as one of the greatest leaders of our nation's history, he failed at business several times and ran for a number of public offices and lost. But he moved beyond failure. Michael Jordan. Some here today know that Jordan was indeed cut as a sophomore from his high school basketball team. Wouldn't you hate to be their coach today? Amen. I have to explain that. How embarrassing. I actually saw a video of him actually explaining it on YouTube. He had the dumbest look on his face. I would too if it was me, amen. Michael Jordan. This is what Jordan had to say about his basketball career. As he thought back over his career. He said it this way. He said, I have missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I have lost almost 300 games. On 26 occasions, I have been entrusted to take the game-winning shot. And I missed. I have failed over and over and over again in my life. And that is why I succeed. And so we need mothers. And I praise God for a grandmother who taught me you can move beyond failure. Once a failure doesn't mean always a failure. I stand here today, and this is by way of testimony, been to state penitentiary twice. Started at 17. Currently on a pastoral staff at Pacific Guard Mission, assistant pastor at Christ First out in Manuka, and currently working on a doctorate in pastoral theology. Don't tell me what God can't do. You can move beyond failure. I don't care how bad it is right now. I don't care what your family says. I don't care what anyone says. There is a God that can help you move beyond your failures. As a matter of fact, the Bible says a righteous man falls 7 times, but he rises up again. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And I praise God for that. In this last point today, and the most important point that my mother taught me, brief recap. She taught me the dangers of sin. Secondly, the importance of moving beyond failure, and also, I'm sorry, striving for excellence. And thirdly, moving beyond failure. But the most important lesson that my mother taught me, and I praise God for this, and that's that Sunday is a day to be in God's house. Can I get at least one amen today here today? Sunday is not a day to sit at home and watch a bass football game or to relax. Sunday is the Lord's day. And I can remember at age 12 when my mother started going to church. I'm going to be honest. I did not want to go. I was used to staying at home watching them Bears. Of course, they were good at that point. Now, you're better off going to church, to be honest. I didn't want to go. And so I remember my mother making me go. And I praise God today that my mother made me go to church, made me go to Sunday school, and made me go to a Christian school where I had to wear that red sweater and that pink bow. I hated that red sweater. I look at those pictures today and say, man, they made me wear that all day. But anyway, I praise God for that. Because when I got into trouble, and I did, I reflected back on those Sundays in church. When I sat in that prison cell in 2002, I remembered being in James Memorial, AME Church, and remember those songs, Victory is Mine. I'm so glad trouble doesn't last always. We've come this far by faith. I remember the power of prayer. And let me say this here today, prayer changes things. When you feel useless, pray about it. When you are discouraged, pray about it. In the midst of spiritual warfare, pray about it. If you feel powerless today, pray about it. If you're sick today, pray about it. If you feel like quitting today, don't quit. Pray about it. If you need extra strength, pray about it. If your zeal is gone, pray about it. If you're yielding to sin, pray about it. If you feel restless today, pray about it. If you're tired today, pray about it. If you feel victimized today, pray about it. Prayer changes things. There's a God in heaven that sits high and looks low. The Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways. In other words, prayer should change you. You shouldn't start off lying and continue to lie. We pray to God for the power to change. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Turn from your wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. I learned in the house of God, prayer is our most powerful resource. And I also learned in the house of God, when you have Jesus, you have everything you need. It was in God's house that I learned Jesus is all you need. Sometimes we don't know Jesus is all we need until he is all we have. Now, I look back on my life. There was a time I didn't have any friends. I didn't have any money. But I prayed to Jesus. And I asked for deliverance. I asked for wisdom. I asked for power. And the Bible says this poor man cried unto the Lord. And he heard him. And he delivered him out of all of his fears. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. When you have Jesus, you have Abraham's friends, Isaac's substitute, Jacob's shallow, Moses' rod, Miriam's song, David's shepherd, Solomon's wisdom, Samson's strength, Isaiah's lamb, Jeremiah's balm, Ezekiel's will, Daniel's stone, Matthew's king, Mark's servant, Luke's great physician, John's word. When you have Jesus, you have all those things. The Bible says again, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And I praise God for a mother that made me go to the house of God. Praise God for that. So I thank God for my mother who taught me, don't play with sin. Strive for excellence. Praising God for the ability to be in God's house. And that's so important. God's house is a house of prayer. And young people here today, listen to me good. Life, it's no joke. I remember sitting in church at 13, 14 years of age, laughing, thinking everything was a joke. Had no idea what I was going to get myself into. Young men, brace yourself. It's not going to be easy for you. I'll tell you from first-hand experience. I don't care if you got dreadlocks or a suit on. You'll be looked at the same way. And I know you say, Pastor, you shouldn't say that in church. Listen, friends, if you can't tell the truth in church, we can't tell the truth. Why do our young men have to listen to Farrakhan to hear the truth on these type of subjects? Okay? Because when I leave this church and go to the grocery store, they're not going to see me as Pastor Percy. They're going to see a big black man and get scared in some cases. You got to be ready to deal with that. And so they need strength, they need wisdom, they need character. This is our reality. That hasn't changed because we're saved. I wish it did. And I wish they would just go in the story, oh, he's Christian, he's good. That's not what's going to happen, okay? So don't look at me like I'm not telling the truth here today in church. But I want to encourage you to shoulder that the right way. Don't become angry. Don't become bitter. Be strong. Shoulder that. You got to shoulder that. That is a burden that for whatever reason, God is allowing us to shoulder. Shoulder it. Have pride in yourself. Be strong. Build character. Have confidence in who God has made you. And that confidence and strength can be given to you, of course, through God's word, through prayer, but strong mothers. Encourage your sons. Don't talk down at them. They're going to get enough of that in the world. Amen. Encourage them. Build them up. Edify. And so we praise God for this morning. And I thank God for a mother who taught me so many lessons that are valuable today. Let's give the Lord a hand this morning in church as we close.